Okay, we are on page 16. Okay, the story up to now is the snake got the woman to give her husband and they all ate from the tree. And the God Hashem comes to the garden. They ran away because they didn't have any clothes on. And Hashem says to him, where are you? And as we discussed last week, it means, where are you in life? There's a question to every single person. Obviously, Hashem knew where Adam Rishon was. Either to open a conversation, or as the Alter Rebbe explained it, because Hashem is asking every person, like, where are you? Okay, so he says, Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11, on page 16. Okay, so Adam Rishon says, I hid because I was naked. So Hashem said to him, Mihi gidlochok hi Adam Ato. Who told you, this pasuk we learned already, but it's an introduction to the next pasuk. Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat from the tree of knowledge that I told you not to eat from? In other words, how in the world would you realize that there's something to be ashamed about if you didn't eat from the tree? So he asked the question, did you eat? It's obvious that you ate from the tree, because otherwise, like it says at the beginning, they were naked and they weren't embarrassed because they didn't have the Yetzirah yet. Okay, so what happened over here? So it sounds like this. Now starts the blame giving. This is fabulous. Typical life. But Yemen Adam, so Adam said to Hashem like this. This is what to. Ha'isha shenasati madi, the women who you gave with me, he nasnali min ha'etz, she gave me from the tree, va'oichal and I ate. It's her fault. It's not my fault. And the Medrash says, Adam Rishon said to Hashem, listen, God, before you gave me the wife, I was perfect. I didn't sin. It was about 2 hours. But anyway, I didn't sin. Now you gave me a wife, I sinned. But the Mefarshim say an interesting point over here. It says, he said, he nosnali min ha'etz, she gave me from the tree and I ate. Now in Hebrew, the Torah could have said, the tree is the object over here that we're talking about. Hashem asked him, did you eat from the tree? So he could have said, she gave me from it, mimana, to eat. She gave me to eat from it. That's the object that we're talking about, the tree. But he didn't say that. It said, he nosnali min ha'etz. She gave me from the tree. Why does he use a funny expression? Should have said in language, you say, she gave it to me and I ate from it. We're talking about the tree. So Mephashim explained that, remember he said last time she hit him with a stick? She hit him with a stick to get him to listen. So she tried with words, it didn't go, she hit him with the stick. So Mephashim say, he nasnali min ha'etz, and therefore he said, this is what the Baal HaTurim says. The stick suggests in the literal sense, she gave me from the stick. In other words, she hit me with the stick, and that's what forced me. So basically he said, I was coerced, I was forced, I had no choice, I'm not guilty. Is what he said. And not only that, other Mefarshim say, the Chizkuni says, when he said to her, when other Mefarshim says, he nasnali min ha'etz, I didn't even know which tree it was. I didn't even know it was forbidden. She gave me to eat. How am I supposed to know that she gave me a non-kosher tree? I thought it was a kosher tree. Well, what do you want from me? But right away, you know, the blame started. I'm going to learn these few psukim to discuss the difference in the text. So Hashem Elokim said to this woman, what did you do? Why did you do it? So the woman said, what do you mean? The snake deceived me, he tricked me, and I ate. It's not my fault. It's the snake's fault. Yeah? So Hashem Elokim el Hanachash. So listen what happens over here. Come here, sit by the table. So Hashem says to the snake, because you did this, you're cursed from all animals. That we'll soon learn in a second. What's going on over here is a very interesting thing. God didn't come to Adam and Chava right away and say, you're guilty. God did not say to Adam, you're guilty and therefore you're going to be punished. To Chava, to the Ha'isha, the woman, he didn't say right away, I'm punishing you. He says, why did you do it? By the Nachash, God didn't ask the Nachash why. God didn't ask the Nachash, why did you do it? He said right away, because you did it, you're guilty, you're cursed. What's the difference? To Adam and Chava, he asked the question, why did you do it? And when it came to the actual snake, he didn't say, why did you do it? He said, you're cursed. One second. From here, the Gemara in Sanhedrin learned out a very interesting halacha. It's called the Mesis Umediach, meaning a person who gets other people to sin, you just punish him. You don't give him any benefit of the doubt. A person who gets other people to sin worshipping idols, the Torah says you don't give them the benefit of the doubt. You punish them right away. Everybody else, you have to give the benefit of the doubt. Obviously, Hashem knew everything that was going on over here. Yet Hashem says to Adam, why did you do it? In other words, Adam could have answered, I have an excuse. I mean, or whatever. So Hashem asked him, he has an excuse. The snake, by the way, also could have had an excuse. The commentaries explain the snake could have also had an excuse. God said, could if the snake said, why did you do it? Why did you get Chava to sin and Adam to sin? He had a legitimate answer. There's a rule in the Gemara, Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishayman. If the teacher tells you to do something and the student tells you to do something, who do you listen to?
The teacher.
That's the way you're supposed to be. Except today. Today you listen to the kids. But the question over here is, the Gemara says like this, normally, if I send you to do something, a proxy, as it's called in English, or an agent, or a shliach, so you have a din, the shliach shel adam kameisi. The messenger has the law of the one that sent him. Except when it comes to a sin. If I tell you to kill somebody, and you kill them, you are not my agent. Why? You are my agent. I'm sending you to do it, and you're doing it. In fact, in civil law, it is. An accomplice to the crime. You're just as guilty as the one that killed the person. But in Torah law, it doesn't work like that. Torah law, there's either because we learn now from a pasuk that there's no, when it comes to sin, there's no agent, there's no shliach. But the Gemara also says in Kedushin, there's a logic behind it. If I tell you to kill somebody, yeah, and you do it, God forbid, I can come along and you say later, 1 minute. God tells you not to kill. I told you, go kill. Who are you supposed to listen to, me or God? Right? That's so a person can say, you're my agent. You're not my agent. Because God told you it's a sin. God told you not to do it. I told you to do it, so of course you have to listen to God. The snake could have answered here a very simple answer. If God asked the snake, why did you do this terrible thing? Sending, you know, giving the food to Adam and Chava, he could have said a simple thing. She shouldn't have listened to me. Who told it to listen to me? God says not to eat. And I told it to eat, so of course she shouldn't listen to me. But the Torah doesn't do that here. The Torah doesn't say that God said to the snake, why did you do it? God said straight to the snake, because you did it, you are cursed. One second. Why? Because the Gemara says that if a person is causing other people to sin, there's no benefit of the doubt there. Benefit of a doubt is by an individual sin. If a person is causing others to sin, it is such a terrible crime that there's no leniency, there's no way out finding a favor. Normally Besdin, courts, when it comes to capital punishment, halachically, is supposed to find a way out. Because the Torah says, v'hitzi v'shaftu ha'eda, the Besdin judges, they have to be able to find him innocent. Courts, when it comes to capital punishment, Torah says you're supposed to try to find a leniency for the person. Except when it comes to Mesis and Mediach, a person who gets other people to worship idols, or in this case, the sin was worse than idol worshiping, so then there's no, you don't even find leniencies, you're just guilty, and that's it. What?
So Adam was punished because he...
We didn't get to his punishment yet, but he's punished.
Wasn't the bad thing just he didn't recognize that he did something wrong?
Like we'll get to that soon. We'll discuss that soon. Did he do tshuva or didn't he do tshuva?
Well,
let me explain what you're saying. Okay. God said to him, one second. God said to him, why did you do it? He didn't say, I'm sorry. He says, it's not my fault, it's her fault. He comes to her, why did you do it? She didn't say, I'm sorry. It's the snake's fault. Nobody said, I'm sorry here. So it's a big discussion, we'll soon get to in a second. A big discussion in the commentaries. Did Adam and Chava repent or not? What did you want?
Why is there no question mark in God's question to the woman? It's a statement. What is this that you have done? It's a question, no?
It's a question.
So why is there an exclamation point?
Because it's not Lama, he says. By Adam, he says...
is it because it's such a big transaction? It's like he's saying,
Yeah. But it was a way out. She could have said, and she did... seemingly legitimize. But sometimes legitimizing a crime is worse than the crime itself. When you do a crime and you legitimize it, it's worse many times than the actual crime. And that you see over here clearly.
So if you... let's say, hypothetically, if Chava would have, or Adam would have been, would have answered God with like, by saying, I'm sorry, you're right, I sinned, would their punishment would have been less?
Very possible. Very possible the punishment would have been less. Because he said, I'm sorry. He didn't say, I'm sorry. He says, he gave the blank to somebody else. That's sometimes worse than the crime itself. You do a mistake, you say, I'm sorry, okay, we're human, we make mistakes. You know, this is a pretty bad one, by the way. This is a pretty bad mistake. But people make mistakes. But he didn't say, I'm sorry. He just said he blamed everybody else.
So was the punishment worse because he made an excuse?
Yes. In other words, basically, what the Radak explains, Adam said to God, it's your fault, not mine. You gave me the wife. I didn't ask for her. You gave it to me. And so it's your fault that I sinned because of her. What are you clapping about? This is, okay. But you know, there's something called, Rashi brings down, there's something called Kfui Teva. Kfui Teva means when you're not appreciative of a gift somebody gives you, and not only that, you use it against them. God gave Adam Rishon a gift, his wife, and instead of saying appreciate it, he's blaming her for these turning the thing around. Okay, so he says, then Hashem says, "V'oichel," and I ate. Okay, they did actually eat it, and it was sinning, and he says to, "What did you do?" Okay? In other words, when Hashem asked Chava, what did you do? It's a rhetorical question. That's why it's an exclamation point. It's really a rhetorical question. God knew the answer to the question. Why did you do it? Okay? But he asked Chava to see maybe she'll do tshuva. Okay? Now, the whole question over here is another question in the commentaries. Was Chava forbidden to eat from the tree or not? Hashem only told Adam, you cannot eat from the tree. He didn't tell Chava. So the question is Chava guilty for eating from the tree? So the Ramban learns, interestingly, that Chava was obligated in the tree, and not to eat from the tree. Why? The Ramban says when God commanded Adam not to eat from the tree, they weren't separated yet. They were Siamese twins, right? So when God said to Adam, don't eat from the tree, she was included too. She was part of Adam. So therefore, it was also punishable. In addition to that, Raman says that she, again, she caused him to eat from the tree. Okay, now, the Mefarshim explained like this also. God really was waiting for some type of repentance. When Hashem asked the questions to Adam, what did you do? He was hoping that Adam would say, I'm sorry. Then he would forgive him. Instead, he blamed Chava. So then Hashem tried the next one in line. Chava. What Mazeh Sasi, what did you do? If she said, the Medrash says, that I'm sorry, I made a mistake, God would have forgiven Adam and Chava. But now, when she blamed the Nachash, so then Hashem said, there's no forgiveness, there's no remorse over here, there's no tshuva, there's nothing to do. At this time at least. Okay. Okay, Vayem Hashem Elokim al Nachash. Okay, let's see, now Hashem is punishing the Nachash first. Vayem Hashem Elokim al Nachash, Hashem said to the snake like this, Ki asisa zeis, because you did this, Order ata mikol abehema mikol chayes asada. You are going to be cursed from all animals, all cattle, all beasts of the field. Well, in other words, like this, Hashem said, the Medrash says like this, I wanted to make you king of all the animals. You were supposed to be, like we said, he was the only one walking on 2 feet, and so on. So it says, first I wanted to make you the head of all animals. So instead of that, ordered out to Mikol Bema, you're cursed. Okay? Meaning, and this is another interesting thing, why in the world did God curse all the animals? He said, you are more cursed than all the animals. But that means the animals are also cursed. If Hashem just wanted to curse the snake, he would have said, Adorata, you're cursed. Why does Hashem say to him, you are cursed from all the animals, all the beasts of the field? Why? Because, and this is another remarkable thing. Whatever we do as people, especially as Jews, affects the entire world of universe, including the earth, the animals, the tree, everything is affected by what we do. And therefore, in this punishment that Hashem is giving out to all these different things, the snake, the Chava, and Adam, he says, you are cursed from all the animals of the whole world, because whatever you do is, you know, affects everybody. And therefore, he says like this, you're going to crawl on your stomach. You're going to go on your stomach. You're going to walk on your stomach. I mean, Hashem chopped off their legs, and he has to walk on the ground. Okay, so the feet was removed, and not only that, but like Hashem says, the Sforna says, it means when you crawl on the ground, you know it hurts. It's difficult crawling on the ground. When a person crawls on the ground, it's also very difficult. He says to the snake, everything that you're going to do is going to be painful. In fact, the pregnancy of the snake, the Gemara says, is 7 years. A snake is pregnant for 7 years. That means it basically is suffering, not 9 months, which is much longer. Okay, that's number one. V'afer teichal kol yemei chayecha. Okay? Meaning, you tried getting Adam Rishon to sin by eating. So I'm cursing you that when you eat, you're going to be eating dirt. Okay? Now, the Gemara says, interesting, the Gemara says in Saita that certain people or animals or things, they wanted certain things which were forbidden. And not only did God not give them what they wanted, God made it even worse to them. For instance, this is what the Gemara says in Saita. God said to the snake, you are supposed to be the king over every animal beast. Now you're cursed worse than all of them. I wanted you to walk, you know, straight up. You're going to rely on your belly. I intended that you should eat the same food a person eats. Now you're going to eat dirt. You wanted to kill Adam and marry Chava. Why did the Nachash do this? What did the snake care if they ate from the tree or not? So it says in the Matthew, I think we mentioned this in the back. The Medrash says, he saw Adam and Chava having relations. He desired to have Chava. So he said, and he thought Chava wasn't commanded to eat from the tree. That's what he thought. Because Adam and Ishu was commanded to eat from the tree, not to eat from the tree. So he thought getting Chava to give Adam from the tree, yeah, he'll die. Because the Torah says the day you eat from the tree, you're going to die. And he'll be able to marry Chava. So Hashem said, not only that, you're going to put the people and you are going to hate each other. I'm going to make you hate the women and the women are going to hate you. In other words, when people want things they shouldn't be getting, not only they don't get what they should be getting, what they wanted, they don't even get what they want, what they should be getting. That's what the Gemara says in Saita.
Didn't
okay.
Each animal have a mate when it was created?
Yeah.
So the snake was unhappy with its mate?
Guess so. She probably didn't cook him a good dinner.
Oh wait, I have like a scientific comment. So snakes don't have a limbic system, and a limbic system causes us to like feel emotions and love. So they can't feel any kind.
It's after the sin, not before the sin.
Yeah.
Before so the
that's
sin.
A punishment for them.
Yeah. So I'm saying the sin. Oh, yeah. But before the sin, the snake was walking on 2 feet. It was similar to a human to a certain extent.
But it says Hashem Elokim.
Because it's Hashem giving punishment. By the way, when he called to Adam and said Ayakah, and it also says Hashem Elokim. Why does it say Hashem Elokim? By Adam, by Isha, it says Vayema Hashem Elokim LeIsha and Vayema Hashem Elokim LeNachash. Why is he saying Hashem Elokim? Because Elokim is punishment. This is God coming down now in a form of punishment.
So why, when he gave us the Torah, does it use Elohim?
Okay, that's not for now. That's for the Aseres HaDibros. But the explanation basically is, why does it say, V'yitah l'cho ha'olakim? It's all such beautiful brachas. Why does it say Elohim? Because there's a level of Gvura that's so great that it's even greater than the infinite kindness. It's super mightful, super powerful. That's when we learn that Aseres HaDibros, we get there, we'll talk about it. No, but it's a level of Elokim. But here it means Hashem Elokim means the level of Rachmanis in punishment. Technically, Hashem told Adam the day you eat from the tree, you're going to die. So technically, Hashem should have killed him. He should have died that day. He didn't die. He lived another 930 years.
I thought you said it could be that he was going to die in the future also.
No, but he said, okay, that, but could be, Meis Tomus means you're supposed to die that day. You will die. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. Yeah, deeper means eventually. But Hashem said, the day you eat from the tree, you're going to die. And he didn't die. And, you know, all these things. So we'll see. There was a kind punishment. But what's very special over here? Why do we have to suffer? Because this guy of ours, 5,770, almost 9 years ago, did something so bad. So we should suffer for who knows how many generations, 5,779, this Rosh Hashanah, yeah? 790, why are we suffering so long? The answer is, the Torah is teaching us that whatever you do affects the entire world for all eternity. Which means a person needs to realize that what I do is not only my business. What I do affects the world eternally, for all eternity, until the end of time, whatever we do affects everybody. Like when Cain kills Hevel, and Hashem said, the bloods of your brother, what do you mean bloods? Not only his blood, his children, future grandchildren, could have been great-grandchildren, could have been another 6 billion people in the world. But 6 billion people came from Adam, right? If Cain didn't kill Hevel, yeah, Hevel could have had another 6 billion offshoot from him. Right? The world would be a crowded world even more. but it affects the eternity. We learned already, the Rambam says that before a person is about to do something, they should picture the world as an equally balanced scale. Right? The Rambam says, it's a Mishnah, it's a Rambam, the Rambam is in Dan Nechaz Tshuva, explaining the Mishnah. Okay? The Rambam explains the Mishnah that the world is an equally balanced scale. Okay, good and bad are equal. You do one good deed, the whole world goes down to good. You do one bad deed, the whole world goes down to bad. Remember I mentioned this in the past. There was a group of rabbis that had an interview with a talk host in New York on a radio talk show. And he asked the following question, which is seemingly a very powerful question. He said, you guys say, you Jews say, Torah is chesed, Torah of kindness. Friday night, Neshes Chayil, we say, Torah is chesed al Hashena. Torah is called Torah of kindness. He says, I don't understand. A guy eats 1 ounce of treifa food, 1 ounce of cheeseburger, 1 ounce of pig, whatever. He gets 39 lashes. Remember the Singapore story, the guy got a few lashes, the whole world was in turmoil.
Yep.
Anybody old enough to remember that? The white beards, yeah.
Canaan.
Yeah, the guy was supposed to get a few and the whole world was command of it, the tumult, and they made a tumult about it, how he, the cruelty and 39 lashes, and they didn't give him like the Erev Yom Kippur ones, you know, like this. They whipped him, man, it hurt. Doctors had to evaluate how many they're able to handle, and that's how much they got. It was a big process, yeah? And then he says, you say that your Torah is a Torah of kindness? So a guy wanted to go into McDonald's, and eat a cheeseburger, so that because of that, he gets 39 lashes. That's kindness. So what's the answer? The Rebbe explained it to Fabrinian. What was the answer? He said, that's super kindness. Why? First of all, the halacha is, and this applies to Adam and Chav over here also. First of all, the halacha is, in order to get lashes, you have to be warned by two witnesses immediately prior to the act. Within seconds, a few seconds of the act, you have to be warned by two witnesses, you're not allowed to do it, and if you do it, you're going to get lashes. Okay? And the guy does it anyway. Okay? Now, what happens when the guy does something wrong? Based on what we just explained from the Rambam, one act drags the whole world, the whole universe, not only the world of Earth, the whole universe into evil. Okay? And the Rebbe gave an analogy then that the one going up to the moon. The Rebbe said, when the astronauts go up in space, yeah? And they're told by mission control on Earth, you know, what to do, what button to press at this time, what button to press at this time. And he says, it never enters their mind, it never enters the astronaut's mind to do a, to press the wrong button. Even if we're not endanger them at all. Okay? They would never enter their mind to press the wrong button or a different button than they're told to do. Why? Number one, they know millions of dollars went into this project. Secondly, they know the whole world is watching them. The whole world is watching them and therefore would never even enter their mind to press the wrong button. According to the Rambam's explanation of the mission of Sanhedrin, every act a person does affects the entire universe. And as we're learning here, not only then, for all of eternity. So in other words, you tell a guy like this, you want to eat this pig sandwich, whatever, this ham and rye, whatever it is, yeah? I want you to know, basically the witnesses are telling him, that you are now, because of your desire to eat this 1 ounce of pig, that's what it is, 1 ounce. It's not a lot. It's not even a quarter pounder. It's a quarter of a quarter pounder. So you're going to eat this. You should know that you are dragging the whole world down into garbage for the rest of eternity because you can't hold yourself back from eating this pig. The Rebbe said, the person that has such chutzpah, that doesn't care about anybody else in the world but himself, and his 2-minute desire, Lashes is super kind. The guy should be killed instantaneously. Lashes, the Rebbe said, lashes is kindness. Because the person deserves so much more. What do we learn from this whole story with Adam and Chava, the snake? It's a remarkable lesson, by the way. Because otherwise, what happened 5,500 years ago happened. Who cares? The lesson is, anything we do, good or bad, it could be a slight. What did they do? So they had a piece of fruit. They had a piece of fig. How big do you think the fig was? A tiny piece of fig. Yeah? It says the whole fig was a kazayas, and they ate the Adam ate, and Chava ate. And so it was a tiny piece. Look what happened because they ate this tiny piece of fig. Or what, a grape, or whatever it was. The whole world is damned forever because of that one action that they ate. So what do we need to learn from this? Whatever we do, whatever we think, the Rambam says, think, speech, or do, action, affects everybody else in the world. And therefore, a person, before they're about to do something, especially negative, should take a really deep look into themselves if it's worth doing it. What?
They made a movie called The Butterfly Effect.
Yeah.
About what you just mentioned.
The caterpillar and... Yeah? Or a different one?
No, The Butterfly Effect.
How, like...
Oh, when it waves its wings.
Yes.
Yeah, science woke up this recently, by the way. Torah spoke about it 5,000 years ago. I mean, 3,500 years ago. Torah already said that, by the way. Science in the last, who knows how, not too many years ago, came that when a butterfly flaps its wings, it has an effect all over the world. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, but they made a real movie out of it.
Showing how it affects it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying, but Torah said that a long time ago. Yeah. That already, what?
And what I'm wondering is, this principle seems very fundamental, when talking about Rabbi.
Yeah.
To the point where if someone, let's say the person's not Jewish even, should they internally know that message on their own, or is this something that a person needs to learn Torah for to understand how important their actions are? Or is that like a basic human thing that we should all know by our knowledge?
No, basic human things is selfishness.
How do
1 minute. Let me ask you a question. Kids from birth know on their own to share their toys, or they have to be taught? Isn't that fundamental human beingness that you should share? Yes? Yeah, it's basic humanity. Menschlichkeit, decency. Okay. But kids have to be taught it. Because what's proper human behavior needs to be taught by parents, educators, society, and everybody else.
So who's going to teach this concept to people who don't have a connection to Yiddishkeit?
Who teaches everything else? Huh?
Christian, they eat pigs and they don't know it's not good. It's good for them.
No, the government will take care of it.
That's why a Jew needs to learn Torah.
So how is this concept supposed to affect the world so that if people are supposed to rectify what Adam did, how will people even know?
Anybody that reads the Bible, which happened to be the bestseller for many, 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 many years, probably still the bestseller in the world. Okay, it's called the Bible. Even a person who just studies, not reads it. Like, you know, when they're laying in bed falling asleep. You read the Bible, yeah? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to say, 1 minute, they sinned, and look what happened from it. Adam was punished forever. Mankind was punished forever. The earth is punished forever. Animals are punished forever. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that that's what the Torah is teaching us. If you take the book of the Torah, or as they call it, the Bible, as a constitution of life, then everything that you read in Torah is supposed to teach you something in life. That's why the Rebbe emphasized so many times, Torah, the Zohar says, comes to the Lord, Hodah, guidance. Torah is not a law book. Torah is not a history book. Torah is the constitution of life. Okay, the code of Jewish living for a Jew. So everything that we, that's what do we try to do in the class? We try to bring down all these things that we're learning, how the Torah is teaching us how to conduct ourselves. Right? To make a living Torah. No. To make it a living Torah. That's what it is. What?
So the thing that Christian does doesn't
affect. We have enough headaches within the Jews. Let's leave them out for a while. we finish with the Jews. We'll go to them. It's a whole
for
different...
Muslim, huh? Like Muslim even. Kill yeah. people and they say for God. We kill him for God.
Everything's for God. No. And that doesn't work in Judaism.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so he says like this. Pasuk Tezva, Pasuk 15. Ve'eva Oshis, I'll put, here it's called enmity, meaning hatred. Bein Cho, Bein Oisha, between you and the women, or Bein Zara, Cho, Bein Zara, between her children and your children. Hu Yishuv Chorosh, he will pound your head, and you will bite their heel. In other words, there's going to be a constant fight and hatred between all the snake and every person. Okay, now the question Mefarshim asks an interesting thing. The snakes actually don't eat earth, but feed on living creatures. But it's a figurative snake, because they do eat, basically, and they don't enjoy it when they eat. That's what it means. Earth means it's going to taste like dirt. Snakes don't only eat dirt. Snakes eat all bugs and all those other things. First, that's also dirt. But what the pasuk means, just like when you eat earth, you don't enjoy it. Whatever you're going to eat, you're not going to taste it at all. And it all tastes the same. Okay.
One quick question.
Yeah.
He goes from, he's putting enmity between you and the woman, but then he switches to he. Why is it switched from woman to he?
No, because it said between her and her children. Who means mankind?
He means her the offspring.
Yeah, the offspring. So it's male and female. And in Hebrew, when there's male and female together, you say the male, the whatever it's called. Okay, yeah, he's going to hit your head, and you're going to bite him in the foot. Okay. Valisha Amar, to the Chava, he said like this. By the way, she didn't have a name Chava yet. Later on, he's called for Chava. Right now, she's still the woman. She was nameless now. Okay. Arba, arba, etzveinech ve'ereinech. I will greatly increase your suffering and your childbearing. Okay. Be'etzev tel dibanim. In pain, you shall bear children. Meaning like this. These are a number of different things over here. Number one, I'm going to increase your suffering of rearing children. Of the menstrual cycle. I will greatly increase your vulnerability that women are more, feel pain more than men do. Childbearing means pregnancy. Duration of pregnancy is all a bunch of things the commentary says. You'll bear children, the pains of childbirth, and also the pain of raising the kids. That's worse. That's much worse, right? The childbirth is a few hours when this is, so they get married, after they get married, way after they get married, it's whoever has married kids knows. Okay. Val ishech tshukasech, and your craving will be to your husband. Rashi says it means for marital relations, or it means the woman will never be able to satiate her desires. A woman will, the Netziv says a woman will find favor strive to find favor in the husband's eyes. And hu yimshol bach. He will control you. Meaning, Chava, now, again, punishment, deed for deed, right? Tit for tat. So Chava tried to control Adam by getting him to sin. So what's her punishment? He's going to control you. Okay, that's what she was. In other words, what? The some people say, what do you mean that she'll rely on the husband? The husband brings in the money, and the wife is relying on the husband giving her money to make the food and do everything she has to do. Okay. Women not complaining yet? Okay, good.
Well, what does it mean that she will, I didn't understand, yet your craving shall be for your husband. I didn't understand that.
You what?
I didn't understand, yet your craving shall be for your husband.
Means in marital relations, also that she'll need the husband to support her, and all those other things like that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Adam Amar, and to Adam he said, okay, now, he is the prime sinner, because he was the one that, according to all opinion, was commanded by God not to eat from the tree, right? Adam Amar, he said like this, where the guys that would like this? Because you listen to your wife instead of me, God said, instead of me, and you're therefore you are as guilty as she is because you listen to her instead of listening to me. Just like Chava listened to the snake instead of Hashem, you listen to her by sinning instead of listening to me. Okay, and as the Mefarshim explained, what was Adam's primary sin? That he listened to another person instead of God. Which, by the way, to translate this into practical living, it's what's called peer pressure. No, this is, again, everything in Torah is a lesson, right? Adam Arishan sinned, and he said so himself, I had peer pressure from my wife. By the way, that's 50% of the world's population at this moment was peer pressuring him. You know what I mean? 50% of the world is only Adam and Chava, right? Adam and Chava, 50% of the world's population had a tremendous peer pressure on him. And he gave in to peer pressure. The Torah doesn't say the main thing is that you, yeah, it says from the tree, but that's second. What was the, Hashem didn't say, you ate from the tree because you ate from the tree and listened to your wife. Hashem starts off because you listened to peer pressure. And therefore you did something wrong, and therefore you're going to be blamed for all time. What's the lesson in life? As much peer pressure exists, you have to do what's right. You can't follow peer pressure. Yeah.
So you know how, like you said...
Louder.
You said Hashem created, like, humans and animals and stuff?
Right.
So Hashem was just there?
Hashem was there, yeah.
He was just there, like nothing, like to create
him. Like he is now.
Just there.
Okay. Or here.
In fact, not only is he just here, he's here, there, and everywhere, right? As this song goes. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Up, down, down, right, left, and all around. Here, there, and everywhere, that's where he could be found, right? Hashem is the only existence in the world. Now, we can't understand it. So, you know, of course we can't understand it. Hashem is the only existence in the world that wasn't created. Everything else in the world was created. Angels were created. People were created. Everything was created by God. So that means at one time they didn't exist. And after God created them, they do exist. Correct? By definition, the definition of God means that he wasn't created. Because if he was created, then he can't be the first being. Correct? Now, we don't know what that means because our brains, as brilliant as we think we are very, very limited. Trust me, there's a lot of things in the world we don't understand. Okay? But one thing by definition we know, that the definition of God is an entity. Rambam uses the expression, the beginning of Rambam, Mitziusei Meatzmusei. He's a self-existent entity. So God is not only here, because when somebody makes something, right, you only exist as much as you're made. Correct? If you're made in a certain way, that's the way you exist. You don't exist in a different way. Right? If this is made wood, then it doesn't exist as metal. Correct? Because you are limited in the way you're made. Because Hashem wasn't made, and again, we can't understand, we just know that's the reality. Because Hashem wasn't created, Hashem wasn't formed, Hashem wasn't made, he is everything, everywhere, and everything is God, and God is everything. So, there are times God reveals himself more, when a miracle happens, then God reveals himself more, but the existence of God is not diminished, or limited, or hidden, or anything, by anything that exists in the world, because nobody made him, and therefore nobody controls it. I'm not going to ask you, do you understand? Because you can hear what I'm saying, but to understand it, by definition, we can't. The Rambam writes, this is something that the human mind cannot understand, because it's not something understood. But that doesn't mean, because I don't understand, doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. What?
So does what we do affect this, affect Hashem?
Hashem set it up in a way that when we do good, that allows Hashem to be revealed. When we do bad, that allows Hashem to become concealed. Yes, we call the shots. Whether God should be in exile, or God should be in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, whether God should be revealed or God should be concealed, is only up to us. Nobody else. Why? Not because what I do affects God in any way. But God said, I want it in a way that what you do affects me. You do a mitzvah, you're causing me to be more revealed. You do a sin, you're causing me to be more concealed. That's what Hashem wants, and therefore we affect him. Not because it has to be that way, because by definition, God's not affected by us. But God said, I do want to be affected by you, and therefore when you do a mitzvah, you reveal, and you do a sin, you conceal. You do a sin, look what happened. One sin, like we said, one little eating, yeah? It wasn't even enough to make a bracha achreina. It wasn't even after enough to make an after bracha. According to the Midrash talks, it was a kizayis. In fact, they ask a question, according to the Shlokish, that chotzi shir is mutter permissible from the Torah. So Adam Rishon didn't even sin because it was mutter min haTorah. He only had half a small amount. The Midrash says they had this one fig, and part of it, Adam ate, Chav ate, some people say the Nachash ate. It was less than an amount. It was a tiny amount. But because they did something really wrong, that's what happens. Yeah, we have a tremendous effect. We don't even know how much power we have to affect what's going on in the world. If a little butterfly flaps its wings and affects the world, you can imagine what we do, how it affects the world. One person's sin, look how it affected the whole world for all times. And the Torah says, don't give in to peer pressure. If you know what's right, and this is one of the biggest problems in the world, for a long time already, everybody's controlled by everybody else. We have no idea how much sports control us, how much movies control us, how much the media controls us, except Trump, maybe. Everybody, this phone, this. It's not a cell phone. These cell phones. You know how much it controls us? Our life is around the cell phone. You know that? You wake up in the morning, what's the first thing people look at? Their phone.
20 years.
Lose, the last 20 years. Forget your phone somewhere, or lose your phone somewhere for a day. The world is dysfunctional.
No more payphones
around. Huh? I know, it's a problem. No more payphones.
What are you
going to
do?
Or coins.
You have places you can be without phone.
The what?
Well, you have some places in the world you don't have to have a phone.
I understand. We're talking where we live. We're talking here. We're talking the, you know, Hamish people here. We're talking him. No, but I'm saying, what was the first complaint Hashem said to Adam? He didn't say because you ate from the tree. He said because you gave in to peer pressure. You listened to your wife, meaning you listened to peer pressure. Doesn't mean your wife, and it means the concept. You listened to your wife, to peer pressure. I told you not to eat it. Peer pressure forced you to eat it, forced you. Convinced you to, and you gave in. What?
On the flip side, I don't know if you said this, but like with Sarah, that Hashem said to listen to your wife. Ooh.
Ooh.
I was gonna say
that. Yeah, a guy used to buy me that Aliyah Rosh Hashanah because my wife Sarah and he wants me to listen to her.
Oh,
Shalom Bais.
But Sarah told him what God did, what God wanted. Here Chava told him what God didn't want.
So good peer pressure is good.
Good peer pressure to do what Hashem wants is great. That's what's important about a community. From environment, yeah. Because then the peer pressure is, here we're talking, okay. I hope you understood that when I said peer pressure, I mean negative peer pressure. I don't mean positive peer pressure. Positive peer pressure is very good.
Goes back to causing a sin.
Important about listening to a wife.
Oh yeah, you always have to listen to your wife, especially if you want to get dinner. What?
The husband.
One sec, what?
Their mission was to create the lowest world. How would they have created the lowest world without the sun?
Trust me, God could have found ways of doing it
without it.
Okay, we learned already many times. It's getting late already. We learned already many times. This whole story was pre-planned by God. Okay, the Medrash says in the Pasuk Ketilim, Neir Alila Bnei Adam, God made a libel on people. It says God wanted Adam and Rishon to sin, and God wanted all the things to happen, because if God didn't want it to happen, trust me, it wouldn't have happened.
Like, snake
there, yeah, God wanted the whole thing to happen. But there's a difference between before the fact, it's late, before the fact or after the fact. In other words, Hashem says to us, don't eat not kosher food, correct? So Hashem does not want us to eat the food, correct? He doesn't want us to eat it. If a person sinned and did eat it, yes? Did God allow them to sin? If God didn't allow them to sin, they couldn't have been able to sin. Their mouth wouldn't have functioned. Their hand wouldn't have functioned. Nothing would function. If God didn't want us to eat it, God could stop us very easy. You know, God can close our mouth shut and finished. He could do that. Right? Before the sin, before a person sins, God says, don't sin. Sometimes, in the general plan of the universe, and this maybe we can talk more next week, it's later. In the general plan of the universe, if I sin after the fact, God wanted me to sin. Why? Because He wants me to do the level of tshuva, repentance, that puts me on a level higher than if I didn't sin to begin with. But that's only after the fact, not before the fact. Was Adam HaRishon allowed to eat from the tree? 100% not. 100% not. What Adam HaRishon did eat from the tree, God wanted him to eat from the tree. Because if not, it wouldn't have happened. God doesn't want it to happen. It's not going to happen. But the purpose was to get him to do tshuva. Eventually Adam HaRishon did do tshuva. But right away at the beginning, he didn't. He just passed the blame to somebody else. And there's another interesting thing. Why did Adam Rishon, there's a Chassidic thing over here. Adam Rishon sinned because Adam Rishon thought that he is a tzaddik, a rebbe, that can elevate evil to kedusha. Normally we cannot elevate evil. That's why the Torah forbids it. Certain great tzaddikim are able to elevate evil to kedusha. And Adam Rishon thought, because God made him, he thought he was a rebbe that can elevate evil to Kedusha. The problem is, the Gemara says in Erevin, Adam HaRishon Chassid Gadol Haya. Adam HaRishon's problem was, in the Chassidic world, they say, Adam HaRishon was only a Chassid. A Chassid can't elevate Kedusha, evil to Kedusha. But Adam HaRishon's sin was he thought he was a Rebbe. And therefore he thought if he eats it, he'll be able to elevate it. And that was his sin. Okay?
Right.
Yeah.